Trinity family, the message of Christmas is the message of Emmanuel, which means, the name means God with us, prophesied by Isaiah 2,700 years ago. Another prophet, Micah, prophesied the city, the village, the place where Jesus, the King of Glory, would be born. In this Christmas season, this Advent season, we're reminded that we're a part of this amazing, incredible story. The story of God among us, God with us. So once again, Merry Christmas. I'm looking forward to this week leading up to the celebration of Christmas Sunday morning, a special service that we'll be having on Sunday morning. And of course, the three services that we'll be having for our Christmas Eve services, they're going to be spectacular, and what an incredible time of the year. I want to say hello to those watching live video streaming. Thank you for tuning in. Those that are in our chapel venue, and for each and every one, it's cold out there, but it's warm in here. Amen. Woke up this morning, looked at the temperature, like 6 degrees. Wow, that's cold. But you know what? There are some crazy people called fans, football fans, that are going to be in stadiums outdoors today in this kind of weather. I think as Jesus people, I think Jesus needs some fans. If we were having church outside this morning, would you still be here? Are you that dedicated? Like a football fan? Well, more than fans of Jesus, we're followers of Jesus, aren't we? All right, I've got a message today. I've entitled it, Name It. Now go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. We always respect and esteem the Word of God, but there are special times I think we all need to just stand for the reading of Scripture. And we have a lengthy passage of Scripture that we're going to be reading. So out of deep reverence and respect for God's Word, let's stand as we read this together. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, say it with me, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Isaiah, by the way, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, say it with me, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her, consummate their marriage, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, say with me, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the greatest name ever spoken, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, the King of glory, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon coming King. Thank you, Lord, as we dive into this passage of Scripture, Holy Spirit, you're going to make come alive inside of us the truths inside of this sacred book. Lord, I thank you for your grace and blessing being poured out upon every family represented here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, now you can get comfortable. I'll go to work. You get comfortable. All right. You know, nothing in all of life is really as important and personal as a name. I hope you like your name. You really didn't have any part in choosing that name unless when you were old enough you legally changed your name. Your parents gave you that name. You know, when God created the first man, God gave the first man his name, and he called him Adam. And the very first thing that God assigned Adam to do was to give a name to every creature that God created. And whatever Adam called them, that's what their name became. The power of a name. We name almost everything in our society today. We have names for our pets. Some funny names I came across. Winnie the Poodle. Dallas the Cow Dog. I'd stay away from those names. We name our cars, right? Green Machine or Black Beauty. People name their boats. Came across some funny names of boats. One name was Alone, L-O-A-N. You bankers will like that one. Alone at Last. Another guy had this name, Peer Pressure, P-I-E-R. And another one named his boat In Deep Ship, S-H-I-P. We even have names for our devices. The other day, a pastor friend of mine gave me a thing called an Amazon Echo. And I took it home and I took it out of the box. I didn't know what this thing was. I didn't know how to figure this thing out. But it responds to voice command. And this little Amazon Echo creation, her name's Alexa. And I was calling her by a different name, Alexis, and she wasn't responding. And I was getting frustrated, and so I finally realized, wrong name. I said, Alexa, and Gloria came home. She said, who's Alexa? I pointed to this black tube. My phone is named Siri, and it responds to Siri. So I need to make sure that I don't confuse Alexa Siri with the most important name in my life, Gloria. But we have a name for everything. You know, Business Insider, a couple of years ago, they did some research and they found a phenomenon related to people's names. Your name can have a great effect on your success in life. A New York University study discovered, the researchers found that people with easier to pronounce names often have a higher status position at work. In a Marquette University study, the researchers found evidence suggesting that names that were viewed as the least unique were more likable. People with common names were more likely to be hired than those with rare names. So for those of you with names James, Marys, Johns, and Patricias, according to the research, you're in luck, according to Marquette University study. So names do play a role. They say based on your name will determine whether you get a call back for an interview of a job simply by the name you were given. Parents, of course, are under great stress these days when they're about to have a little one and wanting to select the right name or the perfect name for that child of theirs. And so there are websites and there are books, and we go through lists and lists and lists of names because we're concerned and stressed as parents that we pick the right name because it's going to stay with that kid the rest of their life. Will that name still be popular when they're in middle school? What will that name be like when they're in high school? And what will be some of the nicknames or the spinoffs that might relate to that name that could be a problem for them later on in life? And then there are many parents, celebrity parents, who come up with the most unique names for their children, and it causes you to scratch your head. For example, Frank Zappa famously named his daughter Moon Unit and his son Dweezil. Gwyneth Paltrow named her daughter Apple. Really? Beyonce and Jay-Z named their daughter Blue Ivy. Alicia Silverstone named her son Bear Blue. Tom Cruise has a daughter named Suri, and actor Jason Lee named his son Pilot Inspector. How many know there should be a law against that? That's a form of child abuse. Interesting, Parents Magazine is a tool that is used for searching out the most popular baby names in America, going all the way back to 1880. Back in 1880, the name John and William for boys was the popular name and Mary was for girls. By 1940, it had shifted to James and Robert, Mary still in first place location. By 1960, it was David and Michael. Susan had taken the number two spot for girls, but Mary was still holding strong at number one. 1962, Lisa ended Mary's long reign in the number one spot, only to give way in 1970 to Jennifer, the number one name for girls. 20 years later, by 1990, Lisa, a name that had climbed the rankings like a skyrocket, fell just as fast. It wasn't even in the top 15. Jessica and Ashley had taken the top two spots in 1990. In 2000, it was Jacob and Michael for boys, Emily and Hannah for girls. 10 years later, Jacob was still on top, but Ethan, a relatively rare name, came into one of the top spots, pushed out Michael for the number two spot. Top girls' names that year was Isabel and Sophia. And just 3 years ago, in 2013, Noah and Liam were the top names for boys, and Sophia and Emma for girls. The importance of a name. You see, in the Bible, names are very important. There were times that God would change people's names. God came into covenant relationship with Abram and his wife Sarah. He changed their name to Abraham and Sarah. He gave a portion of his name and placed it inside of their name as indication that they were now in covenant relationship with God. God has always been in the business of changing people's names. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, was given the name at birth, Jacob, which means deceiver and supplanter. But then Jacob has this wrestling match with God, and he loses, and his will is submitted to God in that moment. Many say that's when Jacob was genuinely converted or saved in the Old Testament sense. And God changed his name to Israel, one who struggles with God, or prince with God. The power of a name. But there's never been a name as glorious and as great as the name of Jesus. The name that the angel told Joseph what he was to call the newborn child that was to be born on that first Christmas morning. Imagine how the angel made it easy for Joseph and Mary. They knew in advance that they were going to have a boy, and they knew it in advance what that boy's name was going to be. The name of Jesus. In the text that we read this morning, there are four significant names that are mentioned. I call them the famous four. There's the name Joseph, there's the name Mary, there's the name Jesus, and there's the name Emmanuel. Each of these names have a meaning. Each of these names are significant. And each of these names can be applied in your life and my life this Advent season leading up to Christmas. First of all, there's the name Joseph. It comes from the Hebrew name Yosef. Do we have any Josephs or Joeys or Joes in the house this morning? Raise your hand. All right. Hello, Joes. Hello, Josephs. That's a good biblical name. And here's what it means. It means he will add. He will increase. He meaning who? God. When your parents named you Joseph, there's a prophetic nature to names. And in the Hebrew language, it means that you will add to. Instead of subtracting or taking away, you will add to. Instead of decreasing, you will bring increase. The first person to be named Joseph in the Old Testament was one of Jacob's sons. His actually favorite son was Joseph. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know that he would live up to the prophetic nature of his name? Joseph became the number two in command of the most powerful nation in the world at that time, Egypt, through a series of events. Many of you know the story. And during a severe economic downturn, 7 years of famine, Joseph added to the well-being of his nation. Joseph brought increase because of the favor of God and the wisdom of God that was upon his life. And then there's the Joseph here in the first book of the Bible, the New Testament, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And he lived up to his prophetic name. He added to, he brought increase by obeying the voice of the Lord and not doing the easy thing, copping out and silently, respectfully getting rid of Mary, but taking her on and becoming her husband. The second name it's mentioned in the story is Mary, popular name for many, many decades in America. Now, this name is a little bit more complicated. In the Egyptian form of this name, it means cherished, or it means to be beloved. And we know that she was beloved of the Lord. She was favored of the Lord. That's how it was announced to her, that she was favored of the Lord. We know that she was to be blessed, not above all women, but among all women of the earth, because she was the one chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. But her name in the Hebrew root meaning, the Hebrew word Miriam is the Hebrew word, and it means rebellious. Interesting, isn't it? That her name actually means rebellious, but it's rebellion in a good way. There was this holy defiance, this sanctified stubbornness that was inside of this young virgin by the name of Mary, who was willing to take on this assignment from God, that she would be pregnant out of wedlock, and all the rumors and all the scandal associated with that, and she would give birth to the Savior of the world. She needed to have a little bit of sanctified stubbornness and holy defiance in her to be able to take on that assignment. And then there's the name Jesus. The name means that he saves, or he will save us. Yeshua, it's the name Joshua. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus. Now, of all the names that God, the Father, could have picked for his son, many of you may not know this, but the name Jesus was very common in the time of Christ. Very common. Many parents, as a cry for God's help, would name their sons Jesus, symbolically saying, one day you will save us, and we look to you to save us. So it was a very common name. I mean, the Father could have said, you shall name him he that walks on water, because he walked on water. The angel could have said, name him feeder of 5,000, because he was a feeder of 5,000, plus, right? The angel could have said, name him he that opens deaf ears, or he that raises the dead. But of all the titles or all the names that could have been selected or picked, the name Jesus, say that name with me again, Jesus, was given to our Savior, the greatest name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than the name, say with me, Jesus. Now, his last name wasn't Christ. It wasn't Jesus Christ. It was Jesus the Christ. Christ was another name, another title. The Hebrew equivalent is Messiah, or the anointed one. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Christ means he's the appointed one, the anointed one, the promised one, Jesus. But he was known, because they didn't have last names like we have last names, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth, or the Nazarene, because that's where he was raised, in the city of Nazareth. He was also known as Jesus Bar Joseph, which meant Jesus, the son of Joseph, this good man in the Bible. But you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And then the fourth name that's mentioned is the name Emmanuel, a prophetic name that God gave to the prophet Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. What a comforting truth that all of us can be reminded of this Advent season. That Christmas is a reminder to all of us that God is with us. Now, when you give your life to Jesus and you become a follower of Christ, God gives you a new name. All of us have a new name written in heaven, and we don't know what that name is yet. But the book of Revelation tells us when we get to heaven, you're going to receive a new name. You'll probably still keep this name. If you got a good name, hang on to it. Amen. But you're going to receive a new name. We don't know what that name is. That's yet to be revealed. But all of us, when we come into covenant relationship with God, we receive a name that's attached to us. It's the name Christian. I know that this name has been assaulted, attacked, misused, misapplied, and abused for decades, centuries. But it's still a very important name, Christian. I am a Christian. Let's say that together. I am a Christian. Don't say that if you're not one, but you can be by the end of the service. We'll lead you in a sinner's prayer. Amen. You are a Christian. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you are a Christian, or a soon to be. I hope to be. I hope you are. Christian. They were first called Christians where? Come on, you know your Bible? In Antioch, in the book of Acts. Christian. A follower of Jesus. Someone that lives his or her life according to the example of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just a label. It's not just a tag that we wear. It should mean something to all of us because God gives us that when we are born again. We become a Christian. And before you're anything else, male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. And so it's Carl Anthony Toady Jr., the Christian. Or it's Christian Carl Anthony Toady Jr. Christians attached to who we are. That's who we identify, and that's what we identify with more than the fact that I'm a pastor or I'm a husband or I'm a father or I'm a man or I'm a friend or I'm a this or I'm a that. I am a Christian. That's our highest form of identity. Because when we come into relationship with God or covenant with God, he gives us a part of his name. Now, God's in the business of changing names, as I mentioned earlier. Jesus used to love to give people nicknames and change people's names. He met Simon. He said, no. You're now Peter. Petra in the Greek, which means what? Rock. Now, how many of you know that when you really love someone and you're really involved in a real intimate relationship with someone, a close friend, how many know that we have nicknames for one another? Hopefully, every husband and wife in here, you do not refer to each other by your first name. I never refer to Gloria by her first name at home. She's honey, darling, you know, how many know we have these affectionate terms that we use? Are you with me? She never calls me by my name unless she's not happy about something. Then it's Carl, right? Jesus had nicknames for people. He would change people's names. He looked at Simon and says, you're now Peter the Rock. So everywhere Peter went, he would introduce himself, hi, I'm the Rock. And this is way before Dwayne Johnson. He's the original Rock. What was Jesus doing? He was speaking a prophetic blessing over him. You see, even the enemy knows the power of a label, the power of a title, the power of a stereotype can damage and ruin people's lives for years and years and years. Never allow one of the negative labels of this world to be placed upon you. You know, when you don't act like the world wants you to act, think like the world wants you to think, talk like the world wants you to talk, believe like the world wants you to believe, they will attach labels to you, such as bigot, hater, fundamentalist. And they use these labels, they use these titles to intimidate, to discourage, to cause you to question your convictions and question who you are. But remember, you're a Christian. Say, I'm a Christian. God calls you a son. God calls you a daughter. He knows you by name. There's nothing as beautiful as someone speaking your name in a very sincere way. Everybody loves to hear their name. That's why whenever you meet somebody, use their name. It's great to meet you, John. It's great to meet you, Mary. Whenever someone performs a service for you at the grocery store or buying lunch and they have a name tag on them, call them by their name. Look at them in their eye and say, thank you, Mary, for helping me today. You've just affirmed that person. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, one of the first people to meet him was Mary Magdalene. You know how he responded to her? He didn't say, woman. He didn't say, disciple. He didn't say, one whom seven demons were cast out of. He called her by name, Mary. Mary. Something special about someone affirming you by calling you by your name. The other day, Gloria and I went out to lunch, and I don't know why this doesn't happen more frequently, but you know, when you pay for your lunch, usually you pay with a credit card. I'm not comfortable with that sometimes. I told her the other day, I wish we could just pay everything with cash, but that's kind of hard to keep track and record and stay on budget and all of that. It would be a hassle. It's just easier to give the credit card. But when you give a credit card, how many know it has your name on that credit card? And if most people were like me, see, if I was your waiter, I would get your name and I would Facebook it. I'd want to find out about who I just served, especially if you left me a really good tip. What kind of person is this? Oh, they're a Christian. Ah, how many know Christians leave good tips? And if you don't leave a good tip, don't pay by credit card. Pay by cash, you cheapskate. You cheapskate. Whatever. My brain works faster than my tongue sometimes. But I finished paying with my credit card, and I don't know why this doesn't happen more frequently, but when the waiter returned back, he said, Carl, because his name, I'm like, how do you know my name? My lightning fast mind. Credit card. He said, Carl, thank you. I hope you, and he looked at my wife, I hope you all have a great rest of the day. I thought, wow, he knew my name. He's probably looking me up on Facebook right now. Knows my son's names, knows where I live, you know. Gonna start stalking me. No, I'm just kidding. Power of a name. So these four names, how do they apply to each of us? First of all, the name Joseph. All of us need to become a little bit more like Joseph this Christmas season and on in into the new year. A Joseph. What does it mean to be a Joseph? You add to, you bring increase everywhere you go. And you show up at home in your marriage, you add to your wife, your husband. You add to your children. You bring increase. In your friendships, you're a Joseph. You add to, you bring increase. When you show up at work, you don't take away. There are a lot of people that take away. There are a lot of people that subtract, that make you less. But when you and I are a Joseph, we follow the example of Joseph in the New Testament. We add to, we bring increase to the place of our employment. When we show up at church, we're not those that take more in life than we give. We're all Josephs when we show up to church. We want to add to, we want to increase, we want to build up, we want to encourage others. We want to be a Joseph in all our relationships. We want to add. We want to bring increase. Let me give an example of a friend of mine who was a Joseph. His name was actually Roger, but he lived like Joseph. He and I got saved around the same time, and kind of a funny story. He loved Jesus, but he smoked dope. This is like 30 years ago, okay? And I'm like, hey, Roger. Hey, come on, man. You can't be on fire for Jesus and smoking dope. I mean, that's what Jesus delivered us from. He says, well, it makes me feel good. I know. But here's what God's word says. And, you know, we're not to be like the world, but we're in the world. Anyway, he gave up dope. And now he's really on fire for Jesus. We were working at a ministry together called Hosanna Ministries. And there was an older woman, several years older than him, who went through a great tragedy in her life, a trauma. Her husband, who was a Christian, they had four kids, two small boys, two small girls. Her husband backslid from the Lord, true story, backslid from the Lord, went into the homosexual lifestyle, abandoned his wife and his kids, and eventually died of AIDS. And now she's a struggling single mom, trying to make it in this world, very difficult. And Roger took a liking to her. Begin to talk to her, and they went out on one date, and they went out on another date, and went out on the third date, and on one of those dates, he went to kiss her goodnight. She stopped him. She said, before you go there, do you know what you're getting yourself into? I'm a package deal. I've got four little ones. He said, I know, but I love you. Well, they ended up getting married. And it's been something like 30 years later. They ended up having their own child. And Roger was a Joseph that added to and brought increase to that family and raised those two sons and those two daughters as though they were his very own. That's the kind of Josephs that we need in our world today. someone that adds to, someone that increases. And we all need to be a little bit more like Mary. Cherished and beloved and favored of the Lord, yes, but there needs to be a streak of rebellion on the inside of you. There needs to be a holy defiance and a sanctified stubbornness about you. That when it comes to the Ten Commandments, when it comes to letting your light shine, when it comes to standing for truth in a generation, in an age that has defiled truth, you and I need to be like Mary. We need to be willing to obey God no matter what the personal price or the personal cost may be for us. That if the world's going in one direction, we're going to go in the opposite direction. Any dead fish can float downstream. God's called us to be different. And it's our difference that will make a difference in the world. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. You are a follower of Christ. And as a Christian, we don't let the world around us squeeze us into its mold. We don't let the world around us change how we think and how we believe and what we view. We allow Christ in us to be a positive force to bring change into the world that's around us. And if you and I aren't changing the world, then the world's already changed you and me. We're to go in the opposite direction. This Christmas season, when all your friends and family may be going to parties, inviting you to parties and saying, come on, let's get drunk. You know better than that. You have higher standards for your life than that. You're going someplace in life. You don't have time to take a pit stop at the devil's rest stop and make some bad choices this Advent season. You and I need to continue to make right choices this Christmas season, and we need to honor God. Not in a holier than thou, I'm better than you, I would never touch that stuff, but just thanks but no thanks. I'm not having any. But you don't make them feel bad, or you don't belittle them if they're having one right after the other. Just the drunker they get, the more open they'll be to you sharing Jesus with them. Amen. When the world is going in this direction, everyone's cussing and everyone's doing recreational drugs and states are legalizing it and people are saying there's medicinal benefits in it and all of this. Boy, it's amazing how we survived as a people thousands of years before all of this new stuff came into law. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean you and I have to do it. God's called us to higher standards. God's called us to a better life, and we all need to be like a Mary. Sometimes we need some holy stubbornness, some rebel against hell. That's what we need to do. We need to rebel against. Some of you were good rebels before you gave your life to Jesus. Don't give up that rebellious streak. Now rebel against hell. Come on. Now rebel against hell. Keep the Ten Commandments and honor God. We all need a little Joseph in our lives. We all need to be a little bit more like Mary in our lives. And we all need to embrace what it means to celebrate Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. See, on that first Christmas morning, it was the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah 700 years prior. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. Not just any son. The Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. But now the Lord has done one better than that. Not only is He with us, but He's in us through the new birth. And He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. In my theology, I think because God never violates free will, you could leave Him, but why would you want to do that? You came in by choice. You only stay by choice. God holds no one hostage. But when Jesus asked many of His disciples, do you want to go with those that have been offended by what I said? Peter had the right answer, the rock. Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. But you'll never have to doubt a single day that He will ever leave you. Because He promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. There was a time in my life, early on as a young baby Christian, I was struggling. I was going through a difficult time spiritually, emotionally, trying to obey God and save money to go to Bible school and obey the call of God in my life. And everyone was criticizing and giving me wrong advice. And I had a friend who was a Christian before I was, and he was helping to disciple me. His name was David, which means beloved of the Lord. And I remember, this is when it must have first come out, when it was first written, this poem that everybody knows about now. I had never heard of it. This is like 30-some years ago. And he said, Carl, you know, the promise of Scripture is that Christ will never leave you and never forsake you. When you look back, you know, and in life, you know, you'll always see two sets of footprints, yours and the Lord's. He's always with you. I didn't know where he was going with this. You all know where he was going with this because we've heard it 1,000 times if we've heard it once. That famous Footprints in the Sand poem, right? This is 30-plus years ago. It was brand new then. I'd never heard it. He said, Carl, but there are times when sometimes you're walking along the beach of life and you look back and you only see one set of footprints. He said, that's one of those times in your life, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, man, it is. Like, where's the Lord? I know theologically, biblically, he hasn't left me, but it just feels like he's not there. He said, those times, Carl, when you look back, you only see one set of footprints. That's because the Lord is carrying you. Boom! It hit me like a ton of bricks for me to realize it's going to be all right because he's always there. And I want to remind you this Advent season leading up to Christmas, Emmanuel, God is with you. Those of you struggling through betrayal right now, or where the Christmas season reminds you of a loved one that's gone on to be with Jesus, and there's some hurtful moments associated with the holidays and the celebration, remember, he's with you. And when you look back and you only see one set of footprints, those are the times in life that Jesus is carrying you. Those that may be struggling with addiction. One of the reasons I hate alcohol. And I'm the kind of guy, as an Italian, you know, growing up, little glass of wine. I'm not saying that's strong, sinful or evil. I don't do it because my heart goes out to everyone that struggled with alcohol. And I want to stand with you. That God, through Christ, can give you the victory. You may be struggling with prescription drugs, or you may be struggling with illegal drugs, or 85% of young people, 85% of young men, 50% of young women view porn at least once a month in our country. It's an epidemic. You see, anybody can drink, anybody can get drunk, anybody can cuss, anybody could cope with the stresses of life by watching porn and getting involved in all types of worldly and carnal activity. But it takes a real man or woman of character to say, that's the easy way. And God's not called me to the easy way. That's the broad way and the wide road that leads to destruction. I want to find that straight and narrow road. And I know I can't do it on my own. And there'll be times I'll fall short. But his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for all of us. Amen? But we can choose to live differently because God is with us. And no matter what you may be battling, you'll never have to battle it alone if you'll give it to the Lord. But our problem is many times is we give it to the Lord and then we take it back. And we give it to the Lord and we take it back. I mean, we just need to give it to the Lord once and for all. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. There's nothing that you may be struggling with in your life that God cannot give you the victory over. Because there's no other name given under heaven than the name of Jesus. And all that call upon that name shall be saved, delivered, healed, set free. Sozo is the Greek word, and that's what it means. Salvation is found in none other than Jesus. Joseph, Mary, Jesus, Emmanuel. That's what you and I have as Christians, as men and women who've devoted our lives to follow the Savior of the world. If you haven't made that choice yet, you can. In a few moments, I'm going to lead this entire congregation into prayer. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, period. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. For with the mouth, confession is made in salvation. With the heart, one believes unto justification or righteousness, verse 10 says. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, Jesus is talking. I stand at the door and I knock, the door of your heart. If any man will hear my voice and open up the door of their heart, I'll come into them and have sup with them, and they will have fellowship with them, and they'll have fellowship with me. If you've never opened up the door to Jesus this Christmas season, you can understand the true meaning of Christmas. Or maybe you're here and you need to rededicate your life to Christ because you've been involved in all kinds of things in your life, and you know you're not where you need to be, and you're far from God, and I love you. I don't condemn you. You're in the right place. But today's the day. All that can change. The Father is waiting and calling you home, back in relationship with him, with open arms. And all you need to do is respond in faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ or submit your life to Christ for the very first time, pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Say it with your own mouth. Mean it from your own heart. Those of you in the chapel, I'm including you also. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength to live for you, serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family? Wow.